Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you over there?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's raining like cats and dogs, though, right now in California.
But it's warm rain, right? What's your temperature?
No, it's a chilly. Monica just made a fire.
Uh-oh, okay.
Yeah.
chilly rain.
Yeah.
I love the smell of burning firewood.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's what's going on right now. And
cool.
Jesse,
what's chilly? Is it like 50, 60?
I'm not sure. I just know by when I go outside, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going back.
You need a jacket on. Okay.
Yeah,
well, good.
It's supposed to be like a week of winter weather coming up here. So they're talking about maybe this deluge of rain in the next week is going to kind of put a big dent in the drought. So that's how much rain's coming up here in California.
Oh, awesome. Oh, my God. You know, Hawaii is getting lots of rain, too. And, of course, the East Coast over in the mainland is getting still had snow, cold weather, warm weather. Last week, Maryland had 66-degree temperatures, and then 3 days later it snowed. So, you know, hey, today our show is it's about the new rich. And for anyone that wants to call in, let us know what you think that might mean, because it's probably not what you think. Our call-in number is 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. The new rich, though, just when we're on the topic of the weather briefly, is some people, you and I don't like cold weather, right, pretty much? I mean, I think it's kind of agreed,
no.
Right? Can it go back and forth?
No.
But believe it or not, some people really love cold weather. And, you know, the sports that go with it, all kinds of things. Now, I'm not one of those people. But our show today about the new rich, it'll take into factors where you want to be in different seasons and how you can actually have that happen nowadays, thanks to the Internet, and be one of the new rich. So tune in for more on that soon. Yeah, it's kind of neat. So if you like cold weather, like me, I would just bail out of cold weather area at that cold weather time. Some people may want to go to cold weather areas during that time, you know. So it'll be pretty interesting. And on the second half, I'll turn that over to you.
Bob Claxton is joining us. And Bob has got an amazing story, kind of recovery, if you will, and re-entering life. In fact, his book that we're going to be talking about is called Enter Life Again, and the website is enterlifeagain.com.
Oh,
really,
I love it.
Yeah, it very much parallels the It's Time to Heal idea, I think, in that sense, because it's about somebody who, you know, has gone through some devastating circumstances, and he did as a pastor, went through a divorce, and his whole world kind of crumbled, and it really talks about how he found the strength to enter life again and to start over, and he's now remarried to an amazing woman and author, speaker, and his book is an Amazon bestseller, Enter Life Again. So Bob Claxton joins us in the second half hour, coming up in about 25 minutes or so.
Awesome. Wow, I'm loving this. This is great. Wow. I'm looking forward to it. So we might as well just dig in here and start getting started before we take a break in a little bit. The new rich. Just Randy, I didn't talk to you about this one. So, what do you think the new rich is? I'm just throwing a question out there. You're good at coming back with things.
The new rich. I guess, to quote our former president, Bill Clinton, it depends on what the definition of rich is. But if we're talking about money, you know, if we're talking about money, the new rich would it be like the heirs of currently rich people? So, well, no, they're still rich, so they're like,
and that's kind of like old rich money, kind of old money, right?
Yeah, I guess we need to talk about new rich. You know, I have no idea.
Well, you know, and when we think about rich, like maybe it's not totally, I'll give you a little hint, it's not totally related to money, although unfortunately, not unfortunately, good thing too, money has to play a role in everything we do, or in Earth, or the way our trade is, but it's not totally money. What other things would make you rich?
What are the things?
Yeah, the things that make you rich aren't necessarily money, right? Money's included.
Right. Absolutely.
But,
well, if we're talking that, I'm thinking probably the new rich might be, you know, people who've discovered that it all isn't all about money, you know, so that they are, maybe this new generation is more about relationships and more about, you know, things that aren't necessarily material. I think there's a spirituality, real hunger and thirst for spirituality, and maybe that's what's going on. Am I close?
Yeah, you're getting really warm. You're getting really warm. And money's in there, but, you know, just like people want health and peace of mind, right? They want to feel good about themselves. You know, and we as humans, I mean, we beat ourselves up more than anything, especially in the Western world. I think the Eastern world is a little bit more giving in looking at what someone has, what they do, da 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 da, da and all that, you know, than the Western world. Yeah, you're warm and warm enough. The new rich is, you know, if we're healthy, and it's about, like, lifestyle, okay. And how do you want to live? What do you want to do? Where do you want to be? And there's so many more choices today with the new rich, right? So the new rich is actually, some people have even given up everything, their material stuff, so that they can just go and travel and have a lighter load, for example, right? That person could still be considered the new rich.
Okay.
Some people have homes in different places, and so that they can live in other areas depending on their lifestyle and time of year and things like that. That's also the new rich, which has also been around for a while, but that takes a lot more money, right?
So
it's kind of, it's what you're saying. People worry about relationships, spirituality, really becoming who you are, and living life more on your terms.
Yeah, and I think authentic is another word that comes to mind when I think of, you know, I think this generation, if you will, people who, and maybe it's been a blessing in disguise, some of the financial challenges we've had. We always hear that song, you know, Laura Story, that song Blessings. You know, what if 1,000 sleepless nights is what it takes for me to know you're real? She's praying to God. The point is, you know, what if blessings come in raindrops? What if blessings come in those bad times? And maybe, and I'm feeling my preach getting on here, I better be careful, but maybe,
it's cool.
Yeah, maybe the this whole financial fiasco we've been going through and hard times, maybe the upside of that is that people are rediscovering what is really important, and it is all about money. So that speaks to your point, doesn't it? That really does.
It really does. And, you know, there's so many more than one way to skin a cat. And what happens is many, many people get boxed in. Okay, I have to work at this job for the next 30 years, and when I retire, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. They're not bad. That's not bad to do that. But what about the people that say, I absolutely hate it. I 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 have no choice. I hate it. I hate it. And they're miserable going in every day and every day and every day. And sometimes people find themselves in those situations and they really are miserable. Now, it could be, and it's good to get a coach or talk to somebody or weigh things out. It could very well be that they just need to tweak a few things and maybe they really do like their job and they just need to have a little bit more vacations or take, you know, a half a day, a break, a week. There's so many ways to make things work out better for yourself if you're open to suggestions, if you're open to ideas, et cetera. But we're finding, because of the Internet, thank God for the Internet, there you have pros and cons with social networking or people maybe not relating to each other as much because there's a distance, but look at the freedom that you have with the Internet. So the new rich really is about lifestyle, and it's not so much, you know, for like, say, would you rather say, okay, I'm going to travel to live in four different places throughout the year, I could still run my business. It's very affordable, not strapping myself, not putting myself in large debt. I'm just saying, and actually checking in with friends and family, healthier because I'm able to go walk and run or go swim or do whatever it takes to make me healthier, watching my diet, taking more time for me, reading. Would you rather do that? If that's what you want to do, if you want to travel, or would you rather say, no, I'm totally stuck, I can't do any of the above, and until later, I'm going to wait. So it's very possible if you look at ways to do things instead of saying, well, I can't do that, I can't afford to have places in different parts of the world. Well, you know, you might surprise yourself when you start investigating. And if anybody wants links to many different places, they can email us at radio@realityuniversal.com, or they can go on the website realityuniversal.com and just, you know, type in and let us know you want some links and more information about the New Rich show that we did today. Many of you will be listening on archives. It's really about learning and digging in and figuring out ways to do these things. So you definitely want to make goals. You want to, and it's so important to write down what you're doing, and because goals in your head are not goals written down. You know, you really need to start writing it down and chunk it, and you'll come up with more ideas. So, for example, say you say, "Oh, I'm listening to this, and this is crazy because I'm in a position and a job that there's no way I can get away from it. The kids also are young. We've got kids to raise, and there's no way we can do any of this." Well, step number one, if you're working with an employer, and depending on what your job is, ask them, can I work a day or two from home if you're working 5 days a week? Depending on what you do, I don't know what you do, because, you know, we're just giving ideas here, but these ideas work. And see what they say. If they say, oh, absolutely not, ask them for a half a day. Just let it do it, be a test, and see what gets done. You may be surprised because of the Internet and because of all the ways to share our computer, share PCs, communicate all across the world, have meetings on the computer. There's so many ways, but you don't really know until you ask, right? You may shock yourself. You may say, this company's conventional. They're never going to go for that. Ask. You don't know, right? Kids, a lot of times children can be homeschooled. Or if it's absolutely no way this isn't going to work, maybe you go and you travel during the summer until the children are older. But there's so many ways to add more of the new rich lifestyle in your life without saying, pigeonholing yourself and saying, nope, when this happens, when that happens. The first half of our show is always about real estate. Well, this does tie into real estate because you have to live somewhere. So you would either buy, rent, sometimes you can swap properties. You may have a property that you live in that somebody on another side of the world would love to be there in the summer, or maybe for 2 weeks. You just don't know until you ask and you start checking things out. And it really gives you such a sense of freedom to be able to say, I would like to do this. Maybe I can't do it exactly the way I'd like to, but let's try, you know? And so you have many, many people, many more people now are working from home. Just the ability to be able to work from home does allow you to go and live here, live there, or even if you're home in your hometown and you say, you know, I don't even like to travel. I don't want to travel. It's not my thing. I'm not interested in it. Well, give yourself more freedom with maybe being able to work at home or taking certain times and putting your personal activities in first. You know, there's just so many ways to do things if you're finding yourself stuck and not enjoying your lifestyle. It's all about freedom. It's all about having choices. And that's kind of empowering, don't you think?
Yeah, and it strikes me as you're talking that you betcha. And it strikes me that I think, again, this generation and have watched their parents who've been uber focused on, you know, the retirement. And it's kind of this deferring the lifestyle that we want, you know. And so I'm going to work 60 hours, 70 hours a week and just put all this money away so that when I can retire, we can enjoy it. And I think, you know, that's been the mentality, what, 50s and 60s, 70s,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. But I think increasingly people are saying, well, you know, I want to enjoy things while I'm able to and healthy, you know, and younger. And so the challenge, I think, then is financially, you know, bankrolling that. You know, I think that becomes the challenge. But as you said, with the internet, it makes it amazingly easy. And so many people are literally becoming online entrepreneurs in various arenas, you know. And
Many people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can even start something on the side and do work up to it. But so many things, and you learn how to outsource and get other things done that may not be so expensive. Maybe you want to go and you want to go play tennis, or you want to do a sport or some activity, but and you need to get somebody else to clean your house so you have those couple extra hours. You can start chunking time. I mean, this is getting down to the basics, and people say, well, it's a financial thing, but sometimes you end up making more money. You're happier. When you're happier, you know, everybody around you is happier, and you're getting things done, and you're living life on your terms. We're not made to just be pigeonholed, you know. So, and it's interesting. You can start side businesses or something. Maybe you like writing, or maybe you want to put an e-book together that you could sell and make money on that. There's just so many things, and it starts with writing down and saying, what would I like to do? Somebody says, oh, my gosh, I don't have any time. I'm so swamped. You just don't understand, da-da-da-da, and you're out there making a bunch of to-do lists. Well, stop right now and write down the bigger picture. You know, what would you really like to do? And then start chunking it from there. And there's so many resources now. I actually was looking and Googling the new rich, because this is such a topic that, I mean, you and I, Randy, have kind of, we kind of work on doing what we want to be doing at different times, you know, and set up the lifestyle the way we want it. And I found a website that has a lot of resources here. David Moore started a website called thenewrich.com. So if you want to go to that site, there's quite a lot of resources and links as well. And this is a person that wanted to get out of the corporate stuff and start working on things, and it's working. Tim Ferriss wrote a book, The 4-Hour Workweek, which many of you may have heard in the past. That's chocked full of resources. He just did that, and I guess does that, and probably just speaking and training, and has traveled all around the world. Do you know, you can get a one-way around-the-world ticket that is very reasonably priced. I think the key is you have to go in one direction, and you can go all the way around the world in a year, but you need to go one direction and not, you know, skip all over the place. So, but still, the world's a pretty big place. So there's just so many ways to do things. They have sites, innerhome.com. People share homes or rent homes all over, you know, in different areas. International Living is an excellent magazine, e-magazine, and excellent. You can go to internationalliving.com and subscribe, even just start out and subscribe to their newsletter. They have so much information about traveling on board, retiring abroad, vacations, rent, you know, there's so much out there. Of course, be very careful, et cetera, but even if you're, you know, it depends on where you are. Just, I guess, it's more about, like, really take care of you, and what would you like to do? If you were told, hey, money's not an object, what would you like to do? And then start from there. So let's come up, what would be an idea if something that somebody would want? They say money's not an object.
If money's not an object, Well, travel, of course. But we've been talking about that, yeah.
And some people might not want to travel, so say that there's just something they'd really love to do, but they just don't find time in their schedule to do it. I bet you you can. If you look at it and you chunk and you start saying, hey, this is a new rich lifestyle. You don't have to, because we can't take money with us. It's great to make money. It's everybody needs money, and the more money you make, the more you can give back and serve and help. But there's situations some people are in that they're just like never going to, they feel stuck. And the worst thing you can do is feel stuck. But I believe, and you and I have a strong faith in God, that typically, you know how a lot of times one road leads us to another road? One door closes, another one opens.
Oh, yeah.
Many times, wherever we are today, we can look back and say, wow, that wasn't totally an accident. All of this brought me to where I am today. And you've been in radio for, what, over 37 years, 38 years? I've been in real estate for over 29. And we are prime examples of taking our heart and our spirit and our goals and living life and taking challenges and et cetera, but trying to do more with it, right, based on our passions.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what the new rich is about. In the meantime, we have to take care of our bodies. We have to get better about how we eat, how we take care of everything so that the machines can keep running, calling our body machines, in the future. So you don't have to I love traveling too, but and again, some people don't like traveling, but maybe there's something else you'd like to do. And it's really the new rich. It's about having freedom to do what we want to do and live life on our terms. Because your terms may be different than my terms, right? And other people listening, we all have different terms. But make yourself happy, and that doesn't mean throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That doesn't mean not sticking to your commitments and your vows and things that people have honored and it doesn't mean escaping value systems. It means just the opposite. Really, really live on your terms. And you could come up with some idea that somebody else says, oh, that doesn't make sense. Run with it. Try it. So that's about the new rich. The new rich, when it comes to real estate, because that's what the first half of the show is, it is about traveling and living in different places. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with someone says, I can't afford to have these other properties somewhere. Put things in storage and go travel through the summer. Or, you know, even with children, it can be so exciting to take them on trips and travel and figure out how to do it. And you may say, well, that's going to cost this much money for tickets. It costs this, it costs that. Well, maybe it's a situation where you stay in the U.S. or if you're in Canada or in Europe, you're already, you know, you go wherever you are, because we have people that listen in from all over. I bet you, if you called in right now or you send us an email later and you're listening to the archive and said, well, I have this situation, there's no way I can do it. I bet you we could find a way, right, Randy, to say, consider this or try this. And it's all about chunking and doing the steps. And believe me, when you start doing this and you start thinking this way and you start taking control of it and you just get excited, talk to your family around the dinner table, say, if we could actually do something, or what would you really like to do? Or was there anything you'd like to change about your life right now? Is there anything you'd really... well, I'd really love to do some other sport, or I'd really love to learn a new language, or I'd really love to do whatever, or take up dancing classes or karate or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can do these things. So many times everybody thinks you have to do all or nothing. You can do it. Yeah. You can do these things. Start putting it into your life incrementally and feel very wealthy. It really is a mindset. You know, this isn't... Mm-hmm. It's interesting, and once you start working on your mindsets and saying, hey, nothing's impossible, of course everything should be done right with integrity, et cetera, you can do a lot, and you feel better about yourself too. So when you feel pigeonholed, huh?
Yeah. No, I was just saying I love what you just said about, you know, sitting around the table with your kids and encouraging them to dream, because frankly, and we've heard this in some of our other shows on Pono Radio with some of our hosts who've been in education, Dr. Lynn Wicker and others, who've said, you know what, kids come to school full of dreams, and then they basically get the dreams kind of, you know, sucked out of them, and by the time they're teenagers, they've somewhat kind of given up, and then it causes all kinds of problems. But like you said, when they're younger, to routinely ask them, what would you like to do? Where would you like to go in the world? Let's look at some maps of the world and pictures, and let's talk about where we want to go and maybe how we can do that. And you start getting kids thinking about what's possible and dreaming and about their dreams. And now I'm going to preach again, but man, you hit it on the head with that.
Awesome.
I mean, yeah, it's important that kids, you know, fight that kind of despair mentality that kind of gets on them at school, you know,
and gets them in a rut. In a rut, right? When we get, if you get into a rut, and sure, we'll have situations and things happening that can get, but when you get in a rut, it feels really yucky, you know, and people get stuck and they feel they don't, they're not happy about it because they're comparing themselves. That's the other thing about the new rich. The new rich, what I want to coin, like, you know, when you hear the new rich, they're not comparing themselves to what the Joneses have. They're not comparing themselves to the other people. And kids, teenagers and kids, teenage years is very difficult. Kids always want to feel like they fit in, right, and compare and not and not feel funny or feel different. And really the new rich is about being different. It's about actually really truly being who you are, you know. And, right, it's pretty cool. And I think communication is a key, and it's so important. Kids come up with the, or children, they're all different ages, have the dreams and have usually dreams that really, if they learn to follow them and trust can actually come through. And you're right, they get squashed out here with the some of the
all the negativity.
Huh?
Yeah. All the negativity in life and school. And we met a friend. I met a friend on Maui, a person who did that very thing. Her and her husband and their two kids moved from Minnesota because they just got sick and tired of the snow, always wanted to move to Maui, and they just did it. They just did it.
And,
you
know, isn't that great?
They were going to come and find work. They found work. You know, they're living very simply, living in an apartment. They both have jobs. Their kids are in school, and they're living on Maui. Are they in a mansion? No.
That's
they
fantastic.
A ton of money?
No. You know, and the funny thing about life, though, lots of times we may decide to do something and maybe, you know, later change our mind and say, now this isn't what I thought it was going to be. You know, that's the beautiful thing about having choices and you know, it just, of course, we all have responsibilities and bills to pay and things like that, everything. It's not that we're discounting any of that. We just want to open it up because that's what the new rich is doing, and we're wonderful. We're, people are wonderful. You don't. It's not all about money. For some reason, have you noticed when you say that new rich? What was the first thing you were mentioning in the beginning when I said, "What do you think the new rich is?" Right? And money comes into it.
Yeah.
It's not money. It's not money. Of course, you need money, and money has to come, and you have to figure out ways to provide and pay for it, and definitely not. You want to hold your own and go through it, and it's a process, but that's not the new rich. The new rich is about you being healthy and loving life, and it doesn't mean we won't have ups and downs. It doesn't mean we won't get stuck in ruts. It doesn't mean, but ask questions. Write it down. What if? Ask not what is, what can be. You know, that's what they talk about is look at what isn't even done yet. It's pretty cool. It is so empowering when you start doing that and you start living your life on purpose and you start living your life with you know, things. And don't let when people go, oh, that's silly. That doesn't make sense. Just ignore the naysayers when somebody's really negative about it. And lots of times you're going to find the people closest to you are going to be the worst ones. So, you know, just if it's in your heart, you know, and it's just neat. And I think it's doable. It's amazing. Just an example. In Europe, if you want to go to Europe and you're in, and I'm just giving you a rule of thumb that's separate. If you're in a country and you go in August, you're going to pay for a place for 3 to 4 times what you would pay than if you go in, say, March or April. Then maybe April's going to be a little, March may be a little cold, maybe April's a month to go. But these are the things you can check into and you can work out things. You can barter. There's a lot of places and people that barter, and so just think out of the box. Actually, just throw the box away, right? Think on the big scale. So we're going to just about, I think we're just about running out of time on our first half. So if anybody wants more information, email us and for more information as well. And there's lots of information out on the internet. There's lots of books, lots of people. Lots of people are starting to live the new rich. They really, truly are living their lives, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. That doesn't mean that people just escape their responsibilities. This is actually having everything, doing what you do best, but taking some time for you and taking in your family. And believe me, I can't imagine that someone later would say, I'm really sorry I did this. I think you'll find just the opposite. So we're moving on to the second half, and boy, did that went good by fast.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That is, boy, and we could seriously take the whole second half and talk about that, because I think we were just kind of getting warmed up. But again, we'd love to hear from you, radio@realtyuniversal.com. And I want to say hi to Steve listening right now in Huntington Beach. He's joking around. He's my buddy who's into the Bitcoin thing, and he called in.
Oh, wow.
And he texted. He's listening on his iPhone right now, and he said, the new rich is anybody who gets involved with Bitcoin. So that's his little commercial right there. We'll have Steve on to
talk about
the Bitcoin.
Yeah, I'm interested in that, too.
A whole other conversation. Let's take a break, and on the other side, Bob Claxton is going to join us, and what an amazing story he has. We aim to inspire and motivate you in the second half, and that is going to happen. So stay tuned. Don't you dare go anywhere.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
When I was in college in Psych 101 as a freshman, we took a test to determine our creativity. There were 17 in the class, and I remember it well because I finished at the bottom of the class. Here's what I did that really sparked the creativity of my life. I began reading, and I began filing. Somebody else's idea helped me to create an idea, and before long, I began to sense that there was creativity within me. I just realized that I had to, in the beginning, borrow it from others and then build on it. Oh, I love that. Borrow it and then build on it. So if you look at yourself not as a creative person, you can't be any worse than me. I was at the bottom of a class. 60 books later, I've learned to be creative, but it was a learned art in my life. So go inside. It's there. Pull it out.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say there are some people that's like, ready, fire, aim. And, you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
Yeah, buddy, we are back. Randy Zachary is my name. I'm in rainy California right now. And Natalie Mullinex is president and founder of Realty Universal. She is on the beautiful island of Oahu in the state of Hawaii. And Bob Claxton, he joins us now, and I'm guessing he's somewhere in Canada, but we'll find out in just a second when we greet him. Bob, let me give you a little background. Born in Ontario, spent most of his adult years in Ontario, moved to Alberta in 2002 and served a total of 5 congregations as a pastor.
Wow.
Has a degree from Briarcrest College, Simpson University, and he's passionate, I love this, about walking folks alongside folks who have been deeply wounded by difficult circumstances. We're going to kind of dig into his story and his circumstances. He's the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Enter Life Again. And he is with us on the line, I'm guessing from Canada, right?
Absolutely. And we woke up this morning to about 3 inches of snow.
Oh, do you like winter?
Well, I'm tired of it.
Okay.
Absolutely tired of it. We got winter on the 27th of October. We actually had brown grass, but we got a spring. We got a spring spring shower over the night, so it's going to
wow.
be gone. But it's part of the journey. We have
nice.
To be able to walk up here.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, some people they do. People like some people, especially if you've been born and raised in it. I think you get used
mm-hmm.
to snow. I grew up in Orange County where I never saw snow, so every time I went up in the snow, I was scared to death, you know,
yep.
just because driving on the slick roads and, you know, anyway, all of that stuff. Plus, I, at an early age, read the story of the Donner Party, you know, in California. And I always got afraid, man, that somehow I was going to be snowed in a blizzard somewhere. So, anyway, enough of my
fears.
Well,
we actually love all 4 of the seasons, so that's the... That's what happens here is we look forward to the next one that's coming. So,
yeah
we like things on the change, that's for sure. But that's all. That's all. Awesome. Thank you for having me on today.
We are so glad. And again, I know you had a big online party, and congratulations on your best-selling book on Amazon. And Enter Life Again is hugely successful, and I think it's because you've struck a nerve with people. A lot of people going through traumatic things, and sadly, not a lot of help around, even in church world. And we could get into that conversation, and that might be part of it. But I know you've been a pastor for many, many years, and part of your story is, you know, is your experience there. But let's kind of, and this is going to fly by. It always does with folks like you, because we have right now about 20 minutes. Why don't you kind of give us a little bit of your story? We'll let you kind of share that. And then we've got some questions, obviously, we want to ask.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me again. I appreciate this so much. The book is called The Enter Life Again Manifesto, How to Thrive as a Pastor, Being Forced Out of Ministry. And a lot of people mm-hmm. take that the wrong way to think that it was the church that forced me out of ministry. But it really was my life experience. As you stated before, Randy, I have served in 5 different congregations. And in the last congregation, things were going really well. It was a large urban church that I was involved in. We were just past our 10 years, or just about coming up to our 10-year anniversary. And I was working on a doctorate, and I came home from a 6-week study tour, which was part of my journey to get the doctorate, to discover that my wife had moved out. And she met me at the door. And gave me a letter and said, I'm done, I'm through, I don't want to do this anymore. And that just kind of cascaded into a whole bunch of tiles that went falling down over the next probably 6 weeks, where I actually stepped out of the ministry and knew that I was going to be in a very difficult place, and I had a bunch of choices that I had to make. And so by God's grace, I was able to maneuver through the pain and discover what I needed to discover, and actually was able to go into a new career. And one of the things that I looked for in this journey was someone that had walked down that path before. And I'd seen mm-hmm. people who had gone through divorces, and I'd worked with people who had experienced those kinds of pain, but I had never experienced or found anybody who had been a pastor that had gone through a divorce and who transitioned from ministry into business. And so I was pretty much left up to my own devices to try to figure that way through. And So one of my chairman of the board at the time said to me, he said, Bob, I want you to write down, because he knew I journaled, he said, I want you to write down everything that you do, because he said there's never been a book written about how pastors leave the ministry and enter into the business world. And I looked at him at that time, and I was so much in pain, and so, you know, so concerned about just trying to get through what I was getting through. I laughed at him and said, I'll never write a book. I just need to get through this. But grateful, I did write down every day what I was working through and the things that I'd learned. And when I got to this position, I'm vice president of human resources at a company here in Edmonton, which is a God story all by itself. But I just will be celebrating my third year in May, and God has just blessed me in some incredible ways. And throughout this process, I've been coming alongside of pastors who are looking for a way out for a number of reasons. But I love the church, and I love God deeply, and it's been a struggle to try to figure out, when you've been called into ministry and then you were called out of ministry, what do you do with your calling of ministry? And that's been a huge that's been a huge thing.
Wow, and it's, you know, it is about, I think we think in terms often when we think ministry and calling into ministry of being a professional minister, a pastor, and so, you know, that you're not really in ministry if you are in the workplace, but you are. And I know you're discovering that you absolutely, and in many ways, are more effective with people, you know, in the workplace. Now, there's so many ways we can go here, but I want to really stay focused on your crisis and your recovery, because I know that's where people are really needing some help. Now, you talk about in the book Crisis and Cause, Crucible, Clarity, and Crown, and English teacher would say that's a whole lot of alliteration right there, but
I was a pastor for 30 years.
I love it when you can, being a radio guy for 35 years, I love it when you can come up with words like that all start with the same letter, because it helps you keep them in focus. But let's start with crisis. So why don't you kind of describe a little more in detail, let's drill down a little bit more on the crisis that you went through. Obviously we heard the kind of the beginning of it, but let's talk a little bit more about that crisis and how you began the process.
I think the crisis that really came about was, I mean, I knew that we were struggling in our relationship. That was not a surprise to me. We'd been working through some issues, but there was an underlying sadness in my life that I had not been able to identify. And I remember about 5 years prior to this experience, my then wife said to me, you're sad inside. And I said, you're kind of crazy. I've got grandchildren. I've got children who are doing well. I'm in a great church. I got great friends. I've got a golf membership. And I'm trusting that I'm going to be able to have a doctorate. I just really felt like, what was I really sad about? And we never did the hard work of drilling down to find out what that was, Randy. And so when this whole experience happened and she walked out the door, I became very, very much aware of the fact that I had chosen ministry over my wife, because what I was more concerned about, I was more fearful of losing my ministry than I was about losing her. And I went through a whole number of fears, because I sat down after my 50th birthday, which was just about 3 months prior to everything kind of hitting the fan. And I remembered thinking, well, how can I get out of this? Like, what do I do? And I don't know anything else. And, you know, what would happen? And I guess the biggest crisis that I came to was, would I be removed from God's blessing in my life if I took and I got out of ministry? Because I remember in 1984 standing next to my district superintendent, and he was giving me the charge for my ordination, and he basically said, you come out from underneath the armor of God, and his blessings will be removed from you. And, I mean, I remember that like it was yesterday. And so I felt the weight of being in ministry. But what happened was, the crisis that was revealed was, I was given a way out of ministry because of my life experience with my circumstance of my wife leaving me. But what really kind of got to me was, there were a number of things that I guess I wasn't really dealing with, I wasn't really aware of. And one of them was this sadness. And so I remember the very morning, the next morning after she had left and I knew my life was falling apart, I got up at 5:30, having been up every hour on the hour during the night, going from sweats to shivers as everything was kind of coming down on me. I remember pulling out my journal and saying to God, God, I'm at the lowest point I've ever been emotionally in my life. This is horrible. But there is a joy in my soul that I can't explain because I know I'm done ministry. And I need to figure out what that was and why that was. And so over the course of the next, 6 to 8 months, I really tried to do the hard work of looking inside and addressing who I was and looking at my identity and looking at the fishbowl that I was living in and the issues that I had to face. And that became, what really led into the crucible, because while I was doing that, I was still living in hope that we could get this marriage restored and all the rest of it. But then she dropped the bomb and gave me the papers. And I knew it was over, for sure. And that led me into a much even deeper hole that I had to really kind of fight through.
Mm. Wow. So, obviously, and in the book, and we don't have time to go through each of these, but the crisis, and the cause of the crisis, which is what you came to realize, as you started going inside and thinking this through and praying it through. The crucible idea is, again, that place, right, where after, I guess, the first crisis, if you will, this crucible now of, is that what you're talking about, where the crucible of then kind of figuring all this out and all these emotions that are swirling and how do I get clarity out of this? Is that what you're talking about as far as
the crucible? The crucible, if you understand the analogy of what the crucible is, it was a pot where they would put molten metal into this particular cauldron, and they would heat it, and then what would happen is the impurities would come to the top. But you had to go through that extreme heat to get the impurities removed from the pure gold, and they would skim it off the top. And so that's what I liken this stage to, is that when I was really coming to the edge, it was very difficult for me to understand, like, what did I need to learn it? And so I had to, as Randy, you're familiar with the deeper path, I had to enter into some acute pain that was guided and that was directed so that I could resolve and eliminate the chronic pain of the sadness that was in my life. And so it was really a matter of doing the hard things and going to a counselor and getting very honest with him. And I went to a pastor who had been, or a counselor who had been a former pastor, so he understood my world. And we really, really talked that through. And one of the bottom line things that he dealt with was, he said to me one day, he said, Bob, I think I found it. And I said, okay, I'm glad you found it because I'm looking. And he said, I think in the ministry what happened was you became more addicted to being liked than you did being respected. And he didn't use the word addictions. Those are my words. But basically he said, I want you to go home and figure that out. And that was an aha moment for me. And because of the ministry and because of the relational wounds, and as I say in the book, sheep bite, all of those things that have happened in my life, I became to myself. I didn't know who I was. And that was really a source of what the sadness was, is because I was living in such a fishbowl that I was afraid to do an awful lot of things. And part of that was being even locked into fear, knowing what should I do about my present experience.
Bob Claxton is with us, and again, the book is Enter Life Again, enterlifeagain.com. It's an Amazon best-selling book, and that's how you can contact Bob as well. And I'll tell you, brother, as a former pastor, you and I could spend another 2 hours or more on some of what you're talking about here, because it's true. Go ahead. Natalie?
No, I just want to chime in and ask a question because Randy and I are always working on It's Time to Heal. Did you find that a lot of the issues that you work through stemmed back from childhood, or were they just, I don't want to say just, that's the wrong word, were they just kind of working through as an adult and really didn't have to do with childhood? Because it always seems, with what we find a lot, it stems back to our early years and how we molded our personality.
No, I didn't. I mean, we certainly visited my childhood, but I grew up in a pretty good home. I mean, a couple of things I realized was that I looked into my own family, and I guess I should respond to it this way. There were things in my childhood that I learned that I think didn't help me in the beginning or in this whole process of my relationship. I mean, there's three things. One, I learned control from probably the best person that I ever knew control, and that was my grandmother. She could control us as a family like nobody's business. And so, you know, when you are operating in leadership, it's a fine line between motivation and manipulation. And I really, you know, I really tended to be more driven towards motivating our people. But towards the end, I was getting frustrated with my leaders. So control was a little bit of an issue. I also learned how to communicate from a deaf father. My father was deaf all of my life, and so I picked up some of the traits of how I communicated from him.
Wow.
And in my next book, I'm going to describe in great detail, because I've already got it written out, just what those effects were in my life. And if you've never been with a deaf person, then you don't understand the realities of how frustrating it is to communicate with someone who can't hear you. And that was part of it. And then the third thing was I learned to be a conditional lover from my mother.
Okay.
Right. So it was, if you do this, I will love you. If you do this, I will love you. And I actually, one of the things that I had after this whole thing happened, I went back to Ontario to spend some time with my mom, when this all hit. And I remember going out to our cottage, and I sat down with her, and I said, I need to let you know that something that you have done continually has really wounded my heart. And I confronted her in a very loving way about it, but it was a defining moment for me. So there, I guess in reality, there were some things. There were those three things. So I had to really begin to take the steps necessary to reprogram my thinking and my choices.
Wow, that's really amazing.
I just had this conversation with a pastor recently about the people pleasing that pastors get into, because, you know, so much of your, like you say, a fine line between servanthood and people pleasing, right? And you get caught up in that, and that's, again, a whole nother conversation. We have literally about 5 minutes left, and so I want to kind of fast forward if I can, and obviously we encourage everybody to go to Amazon.com and get the book, Enter Life Again, Amazon bestseller. Bob Claxton, the author, with us. And we're going to talk about his coaching cohort coming up here in just a moment as well. So if some of this has struck a chord with you and you're listening, whether live or archive, there is hope. Bob can connect with you and help you maybe even further. Bob, so let's kind of fast forward a bit. And, you know, clarity is a big deal. Obviously, everybody wants clarity. There needs to be a purpose to the pain. And I think there always is, if we're willing to do the hard work as you've done. What's the clarity? How did you find clarity, kind of in the short version, I guess?
Well, the short version is I had to really be honest with myself and enter into the pain of my experience. And one of the great things that happened was I ran into a person by the name of Carrie Oberbrunner, who had a process that he developed out of his book called The Deeper Path. And I followed through the journey of, you know, dreaming once again and finding out what my identity was. So, you know, why I was here, what I was here for, what I was good at, what I was passionate about. And part of the process that I go through with people is I look at their history, because many times what we do in our life over our lifespan gives us indicators of what our passions are or what we're good at or where our strengths are. And so I do a little bit of an inventory prior to getting into what do you want to dream about and what do you want to think about. And so it's that process of going through and finding out what your purpose is, and then, you know, being able to understand if that's what you want to do, what do you have to give up? You have to give up to go up, our great mentor says, John Maxwell. And so what do you have to give up to go up?
Oh, that's awesome. So, give up to go up, yeah.
You know, the clarity really comes when you know exactly why you're here. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's a worker here, and his best friend's wife was just diagnosed and died of cancer, and And he was just looking at, you know, what, how do I take care of her, and, or how do I minister to him? And I said, you know, we talked about it, and we're trying to reconcile this whole process. And I said, you know, it's, there's two important dates in our day, or in our life, one, the day when we were born, and the day that we know why we were born. And when you know what that is, that brings great clarity to us. And I believe that we have to redeem our pain. And that's part of the gift I believe that I have to people, is that I'm not a travel agent in the sense that I'm going to tell you where to go, but I've never been there. I'm going to be a tour guide. And a tour guide walks with you because they've been there already. And if I would have had a tour guide, I think I would have healed a lot quicker. But the reality is, now that I've been through this process, I can help people get through it a lot quicker and with a lot more a lot more confidence and a lot less fear.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah, my wife and I like to say, when we do our marriage stuff, you know, because of our struggles and challenges, that what we've learned is, literally, whatever your pain is, whatever that place of your greatest pain is, can be the place of your greatest victory. You know,
absolutely.
It really can be. You know,
yeah.
And I think it's meant to be. I think there's a purpose for all that we go through, and I'm so glad that, you know, you've done this. And yeah, Carrie has been amazing in my life, and the whole deeper path. I've got the book sitting on my desk, and it never leaves my desk, you know, because it's just, I refer to it so often. So in the couple minutes we have left, Bob, and literally 3 minutes here, let's talk about your cohort. There's a coaching cohort coming up where people essentially can connect with you in a process, right?
That's right. That's right. On April the 3rd, I'm going to do an online coaching process called the Courageous Pathway. And we're going to spend 10 weeks together, and we're going to go through a bunch of things. The Courageous Path involves five things. Face your circumstance, expose your excuses, define your identity, alter your thinking, and then chart your course.
Wow, I love it.
And in that process, we're going to go through, and I'm going to give them a workbook that we will work through, and they will be able to develop their own personal roadmap. And that's the process that I'm going to be going through. So answering questions, you know, like, how do I survive? What am I going to do? How do I stop hurting? How am I going to survive this pain? Where do I go? What do I do? And it was interesting on the call last night, Randy, a lot of people said, you know, you've had a pastoral ministry, and of course that's where your pain was. What's your story for the world? And I said, my story for the world is that it doesn't matter what the, you know, what the cause of your pain is or what the crisis is. The process that I go through will help you, whether you're a pastor or whether you're a woman or that's just had her husband leave you, or you've had a spouse that has died. The process is the same to be able to find how to enter life again.
Wow, I love it. Now, how do people, do they go to bobclaxton.com to sign up, or where do they go?
They can go to enterlife.com.
Enterlife.com, okay.
And enterlifeagain.com, and there's a coaching tab. And at the bottom of the coaching tab, there is a spot where they can get a hold of me. And we have just a few spots available. So love it if people would like to be a part of that.
Fantastic.
Very cool. Thanks, Bob. Thanks again for all you do and the blessing.
Amazing.
Again on the book. And keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate you too very much for not only what you're doing for me, but also for the kingdom. Keep strong.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you
Take care.
Much. It was wonderful. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.